Welcome to the Healthy Skin Show with Jennifer Fugo, where we're flipping everything you've been told about your chronic skin issues upside down and connecting you with alternative solutions your dermatologist never told you about.
Welcome back to episode number 311 of the Healthy Skin Show. In today's episode, we're going to talk about what candida overgrowth looks like and what the symptoms can include. To kick things off, let's start with some of the typical candida overgrowth signs that include things like oral thrush, where candida causes a mouth yeast infection and painful bumps on the tongue or the roof of the mouth, vaginal yeast infections, gas, bloating, constipation, or diarrhea, basically any of the typical signs that your gut health is out of balance, an intense sugar craving, reactivity to sugar, starchy foods, or even alcohol, eczema-like skin rashes, typically with very clearly defined borders, diagnosable via a KOH skin scraping done by your dermatologist, fungal infections of your fingernails or toenails, a distinct increase in itchiness at night, and a lot of people with candida overgrowth will complain of feeling tired, whether that's the actual candida making you feel tired or something else like nutrient deficiencies that are often the result of an issue with candida. It's hard to say, but that can be a factor. Now, it's important to clarify that you can absolutely have a candida rash without having any of these symptoms that I just talked about. For example, you can have a candida armpit rash without ever experiencing any GI symptoms or even vaginal yeast infections at all. And it's also important to note that candida isn't the only type of fungal skin infection, rash, or gut overgrowth issue that you might have going on at the same time. Frequently in my practice, I see candida overgrowth in the gut in cases of psoriasis, chronic hives, dandruff, and eczema that acts as a trigger for the skin since it increases cytokine activity in your body. So for example, when researchers looked at a group of psoriasis patients in 2021, they found nearly 16% of them had external fungal infections based on nail clippings and skin scrapings. Then in a 2018 review, researchers found that patients with psoriasis were much more likely to have an overgrowth of candida than those in the control group. While other research has found candida and fungal organisms present in stool testing of between 50 to 72% of psoriasis warriors. If you've ever wondered if candida is what's causing your skin rashes, you're in for a treat because the topic is often misunderstood, and I'd like to set the record straight. To kick things off, let's start with some of the typical candida overgrowth signs that include things like oral thrush, where candida causes a mouth yeasty infection or rash, and painful bumps on the tongue and roof of the mouth, vaginal yeast infections, gas, bloating, constipation, diarrhea, basically any of the types of signs that your gut health is out of balance, intense sugar cravings, reactivity to sugar, starchy foods, or alcohol, eczema-like skin rashes, typically with very clearly defined borders, diagnosable via a KOH skin scraping done by your doctor or dermatologist, fungal infections of your fingernails or toenails, a distinct increase in itchiness at night, and a lot of people with candida overgrowth complain of feeling tired, whether that's the actual candida making you feel tired or something like nutrient deficiencies that are often a result of candida overgrowth. It's hard to say, but it can be a factor. Now, it's important to clarify that you can have a candida rash without having any of these symptoms that I just mentioned. For example, you can have a candida armpit rash without ever experiencing any GI symptoms or even vaginal yeast infections. None at all, believe it or not. And it's also important to note that candida isn't the only type of fungal skin infection, rash, or gut overgrowth issue you might have going on at the same time. Frequently in my practice, I see candida overgrowth in the gut of cases of psoriasis, chronic hives, dandruff, and eczema that acts as a trigger for the skin since it increases cytokine activity. For example, when researchers looked at a group of psoriasis patients in 2021, they found nearly 16% had external fungal infections based on nail clippings and skin scrapings. Then in a 2018 review, researchers also found that patients with psoriasis were much more likely to have an overgrowth of candida than those in the control group. And other research has found candida and other fungal organisms present in stool testing between 50 to 72% of psoriasis warriors. So we've talked about some signs and symptoms of candida overgrowth and what that can look like throughout the body. Candida overgrowth on skin can show up in those more damp, moist places that fungus loves to hide and multiply in. So think the armpits, back of the knees, inside of the elbows, the inner thigh, groin area, your neck, your hairline, especially the nape of your neck, the buttocks, the vagina, mouth, on the feet, in between your toes, under your breasts, in between folds of skin. These are all fungal hotspots. And of course, candida rashes can also show up on the chest, face, lips, or any other bit of skin too, just to make things a bit more interesting. That said, it's also possible to have rashes in these locations without having an actual candida overgrowth on the skin itself. And if you head on over to the full transcript of this episode, I'll make sure to link up a complete list and diagram of all the places on your body that are deemed to be fungal hotspots. Here's the thing about candida overgrowth, which is distinctly different from a condition known as candidiasis. And candidiasis, just for the record, is a candida infection that would require medical intervention. So a lot of times people will use the word candida, but what they really mean is fungus. Candida has become shorthand for what you might call a fungal overgrowth. And this includes even a fungal skin infection. Fungi, as a family of organisms, includes both molds and yeasts. And candida isn't the only kind of yeast found in the gut and skin microbiomes. Additionally, there are different types of candida that include candida albicans as well as other candida species. There's also something called Malassezia, which is another naturally occurring yeast that lives in the more oily areas like your face, scalp, and eyebrows. And it can be very opportunistic and overpopulate when the conditions are right, which can help to lead to certain types of rashes and will contribute to dandruff and seborrheic dermatitis, as well as tinea versicolor. Plus, two other interesting condition-specific notes worth mentioning are that some acne cases are actually fungal acne, and some cases of hidradenitis suppurativa show candida reactivity via blood testing. Now, in an earlier episode of the Healthy Skin Show, I talked about Malassezia with Dr. Julie Greenberg, and she mentioned that she sees a lot of women with Malassezia overgrowth causing these raccoon-like rings of red rashes or patches around the eyes. Ringworm is another type of a fungal infection, and then there are other species of fungi that can cause skin rashes and lesions like Geotrichum, Rhodoterula, and Aspergillus. So just because you have fungal overgrowth doesn't necessarily mean that it's specifically candida causing your troubles. So let's take a look at the seven most common candida overgrowth causes. The first is antibiotic use. Now, have you ever taken a course of antibiotics and ended up with a vaginal yeast infection or thrush? Well, this is a common side effect of antibiotic use that studies back up. The reason has to do with the fact that you've taken lots of antibiotics that impact the balance of your gut microbiome, and thus it becomes unbalanced due to the depletion of key bacterial strains that help to keep fungal organisms in check. So when they are removed, you become more susceptible to fungal overgrowth. And even if you took some antibiotics a long time ago, it's possible this could happen after the fact. So it may not be directly after that dose. Plus, if you eat a lot of foods treated with antibiotics, that's another way you could potentially reduce the number of helpful gut bacteria that normally keep those opportunistic fungi in check. The second is steroids. Now, long-term topical steroid or oral steroid or nasal inhaled steroid, even prednisone use, can also increase fungal overgrowth. And since both oral and injected steroids can increase fungal overgrowth, I think it's worthwhile to mention that I've seen a huge number of clients who've used topical steroids and end up going through something called topical steroid withdrawal who also have fungal issues. I also talked about this with Dr. Christine Marin on the show about inhaler use and how it could possibly lead to yeast issues down the road. The third way is alcohol. Now, let's face it, alcohol is made with yeast. So if you drink lots of alcohol or have a history of doing so currently or in the past, it does put you at a much higher likelihood of having candida overgrowth. Depending on the severity, you may have to make a choice between your favorite adult beverage and your skin. Now, number four is highly processed foods. When you eat highly processed foods in your diet, and especially when it's focused around refined carbs and sugar, that often means you're eating lower amounts of protein and fiber. That in turn alters your gut microbiome, favoring an environment where yeast is free to multiply. The fifth is mold exposure. Listen, fungally environments and exposure to mold increases internal fungal overgrowth. Even past mold exposures may have set the stage for issues later on. If you live or work in a moldy environment, this can also make candida overgrowth difficult to clear. We've often found in my practice that institutional buildings can be mold hotspots for clients, including dorms, libraries, hospitals, nursing homes, and even gyms. Recently, a client found mold in her car. So it's important to consider all the different places that you spend time at if you're considering mold as a factor. Number six is certain biologic drugs. Now, drugs like IL-17 inhibitors and TNF-alpha blockers, also known as tumor necrosis factor alpha blockers, can lead to an environment that encourages candida overgrowth by suppressing the part of your immune system that's supposed to keep fungus in check. In fact, these drugs carry a warning about this very issue. This is most commonly a problem for people with psoriasis, inflammatory bowel disease, also known as IBD, and other conditions where these drugs are often used. Number seven is birth control pills. Hormonal contraception can shift the gut microbiome, unfortunately. So yes, hormonal birth control pills can play a role, potentially leading to internal candida overgrowth. Aside from these concerns, it's worth mentioning that a dysbiotic microbiome from mom can be unfortunately passed to your baby. As a result, if a child struggles with fungal issues or cradle cap, it can be another clue that mom may be struggling with candida overgrowth as well. With all that said, it's important to remember that you can have one or more of these reasons going on that has triggered an environment where too much fungus can thrive. And it's worthwhile to mention that internal fungal overgrowth can trigger rashes on your skin without necessarily having fungal overgrowth on your skin. It just shows up in the places that tend to be moist. You can also have a fungal infection on the skin, a fungal overgrowth internally, and both of these things happening at the same time. Some of the reasons we just discussed require more work than others to rebalance your fungal load. Most of the time, a candida overgrowth protocol requires a multi-pronged approach. You need more than just one magic trick or tip. You actually need to go deeper and uncover the reason or reasons underlying why your body's out of balance and allowing too much fungus to grow. I will say that a lot of times on the internet, you'll see recommendations to follow the Candida diet. And from a clinical standpoint, I'm a clinical nutritionist, so from that clinical standpoint, it's typically not helpful. Sure, diet plays a role in the balance of your entire gut microbiome, but I've often found that the Candida diet or anti-Candida diet or a sugar-free diet is not helpful as a long-term resolution of candida overgrowth. The reason is that candida and fungal organisms are hardy and difficult to starve. They will likely outlast your diet efforts, which is why the symptoms start to return as soon as you try reintroducing even healthy sugars or starches from things like berries or vegetables. Plus, these restrictive elimination diets often end up triggering food fear and eating disorders. And sometimes they can even make your skin rashes worse. What I find works best to stop candida overgrowth is to identify what your specific root causes are. It's usually 3 to 6 factors that are driving your candida overgrowth rash. And when you're able to understand what those factors are, you can create a plan or a protocol that specifically targets those causes. It makes the whole journey so much simpler and more effective as a solution. So if you'd like some help figuring this out, especially if candida is a factor, you can download my free skin rash root cause finder. I will put that for you in the description below this video so you can get started. Now, I hope that you have a greater clarity about candida overgrowth. It's such a huge topic, and obviously there's so much more I could share. For now, this is a good start. And in an upcoming episode, I'm actually going to discuss the best testing to help you figure out candida overgrowth. Some of these reasons we just discussed require more work than others to rebalance your fungal load. And most of the time, a candida overgrowth treatment requires a multi-pronged approach. You need more than just this sort of one magic trick or tip. You need to go deeper and uncover the reason or reasons underlying why your body's out of balance and allowing too much fungus to grow. A lot of times on the internet, you'll see recommendations to follow the candida diet, and from a clinical standpoint, it's typically not helpful. Sure, diet plays a role in the balance of our entire gut microbiome, but I've often found the candida diet or also a sugar-free diet to be entirely unhelpful in the long-term resolution of candida overgrowth. The reason is that candida and fungal organisms are hardy and difficult to starve. They will likely outlast your diet efforts, which is why the symptoms start to return as you try reintroducing even healthy sugars from things like berries or vegetables. Plus, these restrictive elimination diets often end up triggering food fear and eating disorders, and sometimes they can even make your skin condition worse. What I find works best to stop candida overgrowth is to identify what your specific root causes are. It's usually 3 to 6 factors that are driving your candida overgrowth rash. And when you're able to understand what those factors are, you can then create a plan that specifically targets those causes. And it makes it so much simpler and more effective of a solution. Now, if you'd like some help figuring out your root causes of your rashes, especially if you're wondering if it is triggered by candida, download my free skin rash root cause guide finder. I'll put that in the show notes and get started. It's a great resource to help you figure this out. And I hope that you now have a greater clarity about candida overgrowth. It's a huge topic, and obviously there's so much more I could share about it. For now, this is a good start, and in an upcoming episode, I'll discuss the best testing to help you figure out candida overgrowth. Now, if you've got any questions or thoughts to share on this, or you want to see the resources I've put together for you, head on over to skinterrupt.com/311 so we can keep the conversation going. Then make a point to share this episode with someone you know who's struggling with rashes, and perhaps you think they could find the information in this conversation of the connection between rashes and candida helpful. And before you head off for your day, take that moment to rate and review the Healthy Skin Show on your podcast platform, and make sure to hit that subscribe button so each week you can tune in for new research, clinical pearls, various alternative strategies, personal stories, and the inspiration you need on your journey to rebuilding healthy skin. And then let's connect. I'm at Jennifer Fugo on Instagram. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I look forward to digging deeper with you in the next episode.